Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our first scripture comes from Isaiah, the 63rd chapter, verses 7 through 9. Listen now for God's word to you. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor in the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not act deceitfully. And he became their savior. In all their distress, it was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and pity, it was he who redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We continue on the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus' birth. Beginning with Matthew, I'm going to do the second chapter, verses 13 through 15, and finish off with 19 through 23. Now, after they, the wise men, had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his wife, his mother and mother by the night, and they went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through a prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother, and they went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. So, I don't know about you, but I keep wondering how this tiny little holy family keeps going. Where is their sense of hope? They have been given the gift or responsibility of caring for the holy child. And that has not been without a bit of drama and an angel intervention. Yet, Mary and Joseph trust that God is with them. So our scripture today ends with the wise men leaving Jesus and Mary and Joseph and returning, remember, to the east via a different road because, of course, the angel there's a lot of angels floating around, have warned them of Herod's duplicity. Jesus is probably about a year old at this point in time when the wise men find him in Bethlehem. It appears that Mary and Joseph have settled in the area. The families of Joseph probably are helping this young family. It must have been hard. While it's not said, we know that the census tax, the reason they even ended up in Jerusalem, was very high. And the journey to Nazareth would have been very taxing on a young family and a little one. He probably were without savings, and Joseph might have decided to stay. He had a marketable skill. He was a craftsman. So I think it made a lot of sense that we find them settling in Bethlehem. But then, you know what happens, right? Another angel appears and warns Joseph that they now have to flee because Herod has been listening and has heard about the birth of Jesus. Again, did you notice? Joseph doesn't ask the angel any questions. He simply takes Mary and Jesus, packs them up, and they flee to Egypt. They would have needed to travel about 40 miles in order to reach the Egyptian border. And then those 40 days, it's traversing kind of desert terrain. And they're also trying to stay off Herod's radar. Are you getting the picture? This is not an easy journey. Once they have reached Egypt, the guess is that they went on to Alexandria. Alexandria was about 300 or so miles away, about a month of travel. But it is a place where we know there was a Jewish settlement, and so there would have been work for Joseph. I suspect Mary and Joseph by this time have been overwhelmed with all of that's going on. But who wouldn't? But did you notice? They don't give up. They don't roll over. They don't let adversity defeat them. They hold on to hope, even if it is a tiny thread. Then, guess what? Another angel appears, this time saying, "It's safe to go back. Herod has died." While we can't exactly match the dates, we suspect that Jesus is now about 3 years old. But as noted in the text, they decide to return not to Bethlehem, but to Nazareth. That's where Mary's from. So again, think about this. There's probably family back in Nazareth that can help this family settle in again. As I began studying the passages and researching the various commentaries on this particular Matthew passage, and it's only in Matthew, I came upon a painting, and you guys can put it up on the screen. The painting is from Luke Oliver Mersan. It's titled "Rest on the Flight to Egypt." The painting debuted in 1879 in a Paris salon. Pretty striking. Do you see the Holy Child and Mary? They're resting up in the Sphinx, and Joseph down below protecting them. And then in 2017, Mark Jarman, the Centennial Professor of English Emeritus at Vanderbilt University, wrote a poem. And it goes like this: "How can they sleep, Joseph awkwardly pillows his head on the ledge in the sand, and Mary, between the Sphinx stone paws, leans back with the child aglow in her lap. Yet they're sleeping. The smoke of the fire pays out a vanishing thread to heaven. The donkey grazes on bones of grasses, his saddle a shelter for darkened sand. There are no stars. Perhaps they have fallen, increasing the grains of drifted sand. But no, it's dawn. The statue has seen it, and so has the child high in the east. The donkey goes on breaking its fast. The exhausted parents continue to sleep. And two pairs of eyes, a child's and a monster's, keep their watch on the world of sand. I was struck as I saw this image and began to think about the fact that they went to Egypt, a safe place to immigrate to, and yet there is an entirely different story told about exactly this area where Sphinx and pyramids were built for Pharaoh by enslaved Israelites. And it seems somehow poetic justice to me, and a reminder that even in the midst of despair, hope shows up. And in this case, in a place and a location that once was hostile, and now a haven. Nothing and no one is above or beyond God's redemptive spirit. Merson's painting reminds us that in the depth of the night lies the promise of a morning, when, having rested, the Holy Family will wake up and move on, leaving the blind Sphinx of the old order behind in the dust. And this is the good news of every family in times of hardship. However unenduring a night that plagues us, however much it keeps us from our urgent endeavors, when we rise from sleep, we almost always discover a new light and a day dawning. I think we often try to tell the story of Jesus' birth in a sanitized pageant kind of way. We forget that Mary and Joseph lived in occupied country, that they were poor folk. They didn't have a mite to rub between their fingers. And as they navigated an unplanned pregnancy, regular visits from angels, shepherds, and wise men, they must have felt, "What next, Lord? What next?" Yet they were faithful in their yeses, and God was with them. For us, who seem to still live in this fearful world, it is a reminder that we must remain faithful, even in times of fear, even when it is not safe, or there's just not enough. We simply must feel our way through the darkness, just like the Holy Family waited, creating space, and then watch for an angel or two to show up. Hope, of course, doesn't have to show up as an angel or a wise man or even stinky shepherds. but it can. Hope can be as simple as a tiny little thread of light that we hold on to, that keeps us from giving up and giving in. Hope is being willing to listen, to being willing to listen, to travel without a plan, and to trust that God is with us always and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.